So speaking of fundamental Course in Miracles gifts, we're going to work tonight on, I don't know, what would you call it, a tool? Or no, it's approach. Maybe it's a vector. Maybe it's a vector or an approach that is, I don't know, it's kind of specific to A Course in Miracles in that it uses the reflection of your brother, you as a teacher. But the reflection isn't what your body's eyes see. You know, it's what you're committing to with your mind. And, you know, I was raised Catholic, and there was good and evil in Catholicism. And, you know, there was plenty of opportunity to have the devil, have evil, and guard yourself against that. In fact, separate yourself from that in order to be holy. And you would enter heaven if you managed not to follow the devil, but instead follow God and Jesus. This is the teaching. And now, of course, miracles will say, well, you know, half true. The devil would be translated now to the ego, a thought in your mind, not to a powerful entity that opposes God one for one. Does oppose God one for one, but it's not a separate entity, like I learned in catechism. So sometimes, you know, I'll hear some, there's a few Jesuit monks. And, you know, I think it's Father Keating is one of them. And these people can use the same words from the Bible that were written ostensibly to paint a picture of an enemy to God in the devil. But they have the holistic view. They have the East meets West translation, and can use the exact same words to illustrate this non-duality. A Course in Miracles is a non-dual teaching. Everybody comfortable with that term, non-dual? Has everybody ran across that studying Advaita or anything? Anybody uncomfortable with the idea non-dual? Well, you see, with the ego's word, the dual is the de facto two and more. You against the world. God, and then there's you. Of Course in Miracles is a teaching that dissolves those differences gently, slowly, carefully, but certainly. One of those differences that shows up all the time in your devotion to being in a body is another body, is another character in your dream that seems also to be surviving and struggling just like you. Sometimes in their struggle to get what they want, they step on your toes, seemingly taking some of your freedom away. That's your brother in A Course in Miracles. It's cleverly used through most of the book. And it speaks at different levels throughout the book. One simple level is what your body's eyes see, another entity equal to you. And then another level that arrives as your eye opens, your spiritual eye opens as you read the book, is that your brother is something that you paint. And so are you. As the oneness starts to converge, you start taking your creative role as you've always had but denied, your creative role, your creative part in what you're experiencing, as that starts to awaken in you. And when it says brother, it doesn't really mean something out there after all. So in the beginning, it's definitely something out there, and the book is written to help you sort through that. But then in your fifth time through A Course in Miracles, it's very clearly not something out there. It's just wonderful how consistently this book will teach these metaphysical lessons of non-duality, meeting you where you are and coming up from there. So that's what we're going to work on tonight, is a bit of that. So let's take a moment to arrive at the meeting, and it'll just be a few moments where we're going to perhaps call your body to attention and have it hold your brain at ease. You're calling your body. You're going to use your body for a few moments to hold yourself available and awake to receive reason. Another word for sanity. Another word for vision. Welcome this opening of your spiritual eye. And now, just for a moment more, think of somebody in your life with whom you perhaps have difficulties. Somebody maybe you ran into conflict with. Maybe you don't agree with what they did or what they said. Bring this person and the way they feel, the contraction that it brings, bring that present with you. And we're going to offer it to the Holy Spirit in you and in these words we will study together. We will heal this contraction if you choose. And finally, as you hold this person in mind, open your mind to the possibility that you can choose perfect peace around this person. There is a way. It is within your reach, because it is in your mind that both the problem and the answer exist. All we need to do is reach for it and go right through. Just know now, you could choose peace around this person completely. Okay, this is an opportunity to both solve a very particular personal problem you may have. It's also the ability for you to see a solution for somebody else in your life who you know has a problem, like with another individual. You will be healed as you let the Holy Spirit teach you to heal. And that's what we're going to work on tonight. It is a miracle, you know, what we're about to do. What we're about to study will be a shift in perception from an experience of division, an experience of obvious otherness, to a embodying of oneness, a switch in perception. This is This is what will be offered in a few of the things we're going to read tonight. We'll see how it goes. Okay, everybody, turn to page 459. 459, that's chapter 21 in the text. Page 459. Okay. And we're going to go to paragraph 2. And Luann, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 2 on page 459?
Correction cannot be accepted or refused by you with your brother, without your brother. Zen would maintain it can, yet reason tells you that you cannot see your brother or yourself as sinful and still perceive the other innocent. Who looks upon himself as guilty and sees a sinless world? And who can see a sinful world and look upon himself apart from it? Sin would maintain you and your brother must be separate, but reason tells you that this must be wrong. If you and your brother are joined, how could it be that you have private thoughts? And how could the thoughts that enter into what but seems like yours alone have no effect at all on what is yours? If minds are joined, this is impossible.
Okay. Hang on a second. Let me just make a note here. 35. I'm going to focus on that word correcting for starters, because it'll be a helpful handle for us on this paragraph. Just making a note so we don't forget. Okay. All right, so now you remember what we're working on is this reason, meaning sanity, meaning right-mindedness, as opposed to insanity and chaos and the use of mind that is heavy and dark. We would like to use our mind for lightness, lightness of being, joy, for happiness, for inclusiveness, rather than division. And the way you know that you're using your mind for lightness is because how you feel, that's it. It's not more complicated than that. Therefore, there's no excuse for you wondering. So, Course in Miracles does have some fine print here and there. And this word correcting is one of them that I'm going to call out before we jump into our study of this paragraph so that we can, receive the leverage that's being offered to us in this very paragraph. First, I want to remind you of Miracle Principle 7. Turn to the front of your book on page 3. And how else could you not see this, but it's bad news. Somebody has to show me the good news side of this. I guess maybe it's in the first part of the Miracle Principle. It says, I'm not there yet either, but it says miracles are everyone's right. That's the good news. It's your right, not a privilege. You own it. Comma.
Where's that?
This is on page 3 in the front of your book. A Miracle Principle 7 on page 3. The miracle principles are almost written in code the first few times you read this book. They're very dense. They are handles on imperatives, on aspects of the teaching that run throughout the book. And they have a lot of pretty words in them, but they don't make a whole lot of sense necessarily the first time you read it. But man, you come back year after year and they're so rich. In the Ur text, the miracle principles took 106 pages. They're down to six in the book that we have. And all the material that was supporting him was spread throughout the books. You didn't miss anything. Or you didn't miss much. You didn't miss anything required. You know, you got the whole formula here in your hands. Miracles are everyone's right, comma. But purification is necessary first. There's some fine print. If you wonder why this isn't going faster for you, or why somebody else is having a hard time with A Course in Miracles, and maybe you aren't, maybe you're already well on the road to receiving the gifts of choosing peace all the time, or at least at any time you know you could, even if you didn't, you know, but I know I can. I'm just playing the ego game, scratching an old itch, a habit. When you're there, you're actually free. You may still be swearing and you may still be, but you know you're free, right? You get there with A Course in Miracles. After a while, knowledge that you can choose peace, that the world actually does not control you, that happens, even though your habits still may be impure. Miracles are everyone's right. So shifts in perception, your ability to have vision, your ability to see through problems, and to actually see the light in the same place where the problem is. That's what a miracle does, right? This is your right because of what you are. Nobody can take it away. Jesus clears his throat. But purification is necessary first. You have built an imaginary wall between yourself and your own vision. What do you got, Tim?
Two things. I very rarely find myself saying this, but if I was to drop a word out of Jesus' lexicon, it would be the word "but" as it's used in English. And I would suggest replacing it with the word "and." It conveys the same energy, but without the negative, okay, good news, bad news, as you pointed out, the way we read it. But, you know, so good news and then but, not as good news.
Yeah.
And it's more easily received with an "and." That could be my thing. If you like the "but," hang on to it.
Yeah, you know, I have had this conversation many times, and for me, for most instances in the book, it's used a lot. I like to put the word "only" in place of "but."
That's another substitution. I've never heard that suggested, and it seems to work.
Only purification is necessary first. It makes it so sweet.
More to his message and getting away from semantics.
Yes.
Causes and conditions.
Yes.
Effects, causes and effects. So every effect that you experience, and again, the word "experience" is there, perceive. If you're experiencing miracles, then you have created the causes for the miracles to become apparent to you. If the miracles will always follow the cause. That's the promise there. Miracles are your right. If you generate the cause, eliminate the obstacles to the awareness of love's presence, then mm-hmm. you will get the effect. Collapse of time, the miracles, the no longer the need to live through the lessons that are experienced as pain.
No longer need to live through the lessons again and again and again. You bet. Beautiful, Tim. I like the word "but" also because it has stopping power.
Oh, it does that.
You're reading through, and the word "but" shows up. You better take notice. You better trip over that word.
Then, all right.
Yeah. What do you got, Ross?
Well, two things keep coming up for me is that it's so black and white. It's so 100%. I mean, it's like now, to have now, every now has to be a holy instant. Any exceptions, or you're falling right back into the ego's trap. But here's the but. What the Course says is you can have impure thoughts, just none that you would keep. So there's two things. One is you're trying to achieve that 100%, as you were saying, peace. 100% peace all the time. And I would say 100% pure thoughts all the time. But if you have an impure thought, the key is forgive yourself, move on, and don't keep that thought, which means don't start beating yourself up for having that impure thought. Just let it go.
Don't give it any more power than it deserves as a mistake.
And then go back to the now. Go back to having a holy instant now.
Nice.
I don't know. That's what comes up for me.
That's beautiful, Ross. That's beautiful. That's practice, man. That's practice. That's choosing once again. Absolutely.
Choose once again, yes.
Very, very good.
Drop the impure thought that you just had, because you're going to have them. You've got a body.
What's the value of hanging on to it now that you know that it's not your preference?
Yeah, you're going to experience some kind of lack. You're going to be, oh, geez, this guy has more than me. Oh, okay, let's stop right there. That was an impure thought. Let's let it go. Move on to back to the holy instant.
Yes.
And keep doing that until you finally get it 100%.
You bet. And you just feel lightness of being as you do that, as you unburden chasing your tail around your own thoughts. Absolutely, there are differences in this world.
Yeah, but I think what the Course does is it gives you that time to pause and examine that thought and go, wait a minute. Yes, in the world, in the dream, that guy does have more than me or that girl or whatever. But I can let that go because it doesn't, it's really inconsequential. My new word is inconsequential.
Nice.
It's not that it doesn't matter. It's not that I don't care.
Uh-huh.
But it's inconsequential.
It's not that it doesn't have effects.
Right. In the dream.
In the dream. But they're inconsequential to what matters.
Right.
To your true identity, to yourself, to what actually is alive in you. Nothing material affects now as your awareness, as you awake. Nothing material can actually affect what is alive in you. What is alive as the dream character, well, that dies. It gets sick, it gets hurt, it heals a bit for a few more years, and then it dies. Well, you know, for sure. But the beauty of the holy instant is that in your spiritual path is that you do get this sense that there is another you that we have to put a capital letter on, and it's invisible. The you that is the Christ is invisible. It's on another order. It's outside of the dream. So look at this paragraph. I want to focus for a moment on the word correction. Page 459, paragraph 2. Correction cannot be accepted or refused by you without your brother. Okay, so this is a course in miracles, and if you make mistakes, then we want to have the mistakes corrected by the teacher in a course in miracles. Get it right and move on. So now I want you to turn to page 28. Top of the page, paragraph 15. Certainly, the essential tool A Course in Miracles uses and even redefines is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. Another way to define forgiveness in this book is release. To release wrong thinking. Like Ross was describing, it comes up, but you forgive it. You let it go for its meaninglessness.
Andrew?
Yes.
Oh, I think that, you know, what the, you know, you don't identify with that thought. For me, it's, that's, you know, that's my body. It's not me. So I don't, you know, when a thought, a negative thought comes, if you identify with it,
yes,
then it will prevail for
yes,
however long. And so that's also another way of looking at it.
Very good. Yes.
You just let it go.
That's right. In fact, often it's as simple as believing it. If it hurts, you probably believe that it's meaningful. Identifying mm-hmm. with is another way to say that it affects me.
Right. Yeah.
And then you must be in the character level, back totally in the dream, outside of Ross's present moment. You must be navigating the past and future with your body character. If it, something, anything in the world means something to you and takes your happiness. Yeah. Okay, look at this paragraph 15. And let's have Deborah read for us that short little paragraph.
The level adjustment power of the miracle induces the right perception for healing. Until this has occurred, healing cannot be understood. Forgiveness is an empty gesture unless it entails correction. Without this, it is essentially judgmental rather than healing.
Looks like more fine print to me. It's like, gotcha. Can't sail along and apply these without actually having to apply it at the right level of your mind. The ego, the world, applies forgiveness on the outside. Keeping the error inside, the error that made the judgment, keeping it, but saying, I won't punish you for it. I will forgive you instead. That's the world's forgiveness. Ross.
Well, so in paragraph 16, I think this is a common thing that I see all the time. Is it says in sentence 5, there is no reference to the outcome of the error. So in other words, just because you healed your body for some reason, that doesn't matter, because you're still buying into the fact that, oh, my body's healed, so it must be a miracle. Well, wait a minute. If you're not a body, then healing the body is not a miracle. There is no reference to the outcome of the error.
So, oh, well done, Ross.
I see that all the time, is that people think, wow, this good thing happened to me, so it must be because I'm studying A Course in Miracles and applying the course. Well, no, the good thing is irrelevant. Anything outside of the spiritual you is irrelevant. It's inconsequential.
Yep, and therein lies the
level confusion.
Level confusion. And the cost of synchronicity.
But what? Say more about that.
Okay, so you are a creative mind and a creator, and there is no limit to what your Holy Spirit can do. Indeed, you can move mountains. Right. The good things happen. You can actually change your life by changing your mind.
Make a better dream.
Make a better dream. Absolutely. Because the dream, there's no dream waiting for you to live. You're actually living it right now. Your mind is actually making, there's no time. It's actually happening in a vertical orientation, not a horizontal. The horizontal's been dreamed. Time and space have been dreamed horizontally from a vertical perspective. You can see this horizontally. You made space. So everything doesn't happen to you, and you made time so it doesn't all happen at once. Okay. So synchronicities will occur, can occur, depending on the application of your access to your higher mind, No problem. There, but the problem comes is that when something goes right and you think it's the miracle, you think it's because absolutely. Yeah. And then something in the world changed and you think that is a direct correlation to necessarily something, a gift.
Right. Like you say, oh, because I'm studying A Course in Miracles, these good things are happening to me. And in my mind now, there's no relation to good things happening in the world and my studying A Course in Miracles.
And if I can't heal the headache, I must not be a good Course in Miracles student.
Right. There's no correlation. It's a level of confusion. You're absolutely falling into magical thinking. You might as well be trying to use unicorns and rainbows to get through life, because no, that's not how it works. It's a dream. It's totally chaotic. And yeah, okay, maybe some good things happen, but it's not because you study A Course in Miracles.
Yep. And the evidence in the world is not the evidence of what we call salvation. What we call right-mindedness.
Yeah.
There's not like the healing or the remission of cancer. I mean, all sorts of wonderful things can happen. But by God, Ross is pointing out the slippery slope, that if you start counting on those things as proof of spirituality and that God loves you, you're going to hate God.
Yeah, because then you'll start praying for specifics to happen.
Bingo.
And that ain't how it works.
You will start having attachments. And attachments is a source of misery, says the Buddha. Yes, Don.
So it's really what the miracle is, a change in perception. Yes?
Yes, Don.
The form may or may not change. It's the perception that is the miracle. And then your experience of love to that same form.
Amen. Your experience of freedom right then, the reversal of the contraction because of what you did in your head, the shift in perception in your mind freed you. And whether or not something happens in the world is immaterial. In fact, it can even be costly, as Ross was just pointing out. Ah.
Would you consider miracles a form of magical thinking? What does it say?
Well, the miracles as the ego defines them, yes.
As opposed to what other definition? Where else do they act but in the egoic world, the duality world? They don't exist in heaven.
They do not reach in heaven. Yeah, they are a translation of something in the world to its spiritual nature, to its spiritual value. Jacqueline?
That's not a yes or a no.
Okay, so is it a magical thought?
Are miracles?
It's a reverse magic. It does deal with magic, but it undoes magic. Yes. Magic says that something in the world can affect you. That's what magic is.
Right.
Course in Miracles says, oh, see, it's actually you that affect you with something that you see in the world. So it undoes magic, but you're right. It definitely is in the realm of the ego and perception in the world. So it's a really good question. And ask it again with different words if we didn't communicate clearly on that, because it's interesting mm-hmm. pondering. Jacqueline.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we're talking about this, so today I had what I would call a holy instant, about 20 minutes, and I started out heading to get my teeth cleaned, going to the dentist. So my intention was to have a holy encounter with everyone that I encountered there, because my big challenge is when I encounter people. You know, when I'm on my own meditating, it's, you know, I have some very, anyway. So what happened on the way driving there, because it's in Felton, not about 20, 25 minutes, all of a sudden, everything was a holy encounter, just holding that thought. So a leaf falling was holy, the patched up pavement that my car was driving was a holy encounter. The car tailgating was a whole, I mean, the person next to me, the sign that said maybe delays, construction ahead was a holy, everything just became this amazing holy encounter. I saw it all. Everything was, I can't put into words, but I saw it all as everything I looked at through my eyes, through this perception. And even when a motorcycle suddenly makes that loud noise, it usually, you know, I had an adrenaline rush and I had that spurt of fear. And that was a holy encounter. Oh, my God, that's a holy encounter, too. And I just kept going, oh, that's a holy encounter. I mean, it was really, and I ended up just with tears, was joyful, just that, oh, that everything is a holy encounter. And then I got to the dentist office. And the dental hygienist was very talkative and, you know, lectured me. She had her shield and mask on, so I could only hear her muffled, which was fortunate. She lectured me for putting off having a root canal next year instead of this year. You know, so, and the whole time I'm going, okay, this is a holy encounter. This is, you know, my holy brother. You know, I love my brother. I mean, I kept coming back to, this is my holy encounter, or this is a holy encounter. And so I held it that way, but it definitely was challenging. I mean, I could say a lot of aspects that went on and on with her. And she was okay. I mean, but she definitely challenged me. But I have to say my view of it, I have to laugh about it. I feel pretty joyful, even though I found myself being challenged to holding it, having that genuine experience of holy encounter with her, you know, because I kept getting, you know, thoughts and, oh, reactions. So, but I do hold it joyfully. It's just kind of funny, you know, the my personality, thought system, her interacting. So we're talking about magic, but I feel like that miracle was because my perception changed. So it wasn't magic that everything was, had the vision or experience of everything being a holy encounter. It was my mind, right?
Yes, it was a reverse of magic. You undid magic with this holy encounter. With the miracle, you undid the magic. You undid victimhood. Magic is victimhood. Mm-hmm. The motorcycle, the pothole. My God, if you this is what Christ's vision is where you see with your spiritual eye that everything that you can even imagine is routed from the mind, and the mind routed from the capital M mind, the capital M mind from spirit, acting for spirit, spirit and extension of God.
Yeah, I felt I was gifted a glimpse of, we hear about Christ's vision or seeing the world in a different way. And I feel like I just feel so grateful, gifted with about 20 minutes. So that was wonderful.
So I'm wondering, it sounds to me, Jacqueline, like you're describing that the first part of your journey, after you invited having everything be a holy encounter, the ride there, it seems as if your vision, it was like it was an act of grace. You didn't have to volitionally try to change your vision, but then when you got in the face to face with the dental and hygienist, then you had to start practicing.
Yes. So I started out with the intention to have the holy encounter with the dental hygienist, but then on the way there, I ended up having this holy encounter with everything. Somehow my intention to have it with her and everyone at the office somehow activated that. I don't know. And then when I got with the actual person and all our personalities and egos and thoughts, that, yes, I had to really start practicing.
Okay.
Yes. So it makes the contrast of the dental experience now really in focus. Yes. Because you came in glowing. Yeah. I'll bet you were just glowing walking through the door. 20 minutes of holy encounters. Oh, yeah. Yes. But that's great for tonight, though, because that's really good for us to use. We've all experience challenging people that just seems to continue to press our button. Yeah. Okay, so first is the idea of correction is required. You have to actually have the miracle change what you think is true. You don't do it every time, see, because eventually it flows like what Jacqueline was describing. And the whole world now is seen as rooted to the same source, that it is love, and it is holy, and it's wonderful. Even as things appear to fail, those are lovely things that are appearing to fail. And the laws that they operate from your spiritual sight are beautiful, even as they appear to what the ego calls failing. It's a lightness of being. That's why I love the word enlightenment. Yeah. Okay, so let's just look at this real quick. 15 now on page 28. The level adjustment power of the miracle induces the right perception for healing. I love it. We got healing. We got where healing comes from, which is right perception, right where it needs to be. Sickness is wrong perception. I love it. It talks about the miracle being able to make a level adjustment for you, which addresses what Tim is talking about. If you're in victimhood and you're hoping for magic, you're really just going to have to get lucky for your day to go well. But if you can switch to the spiritual level, if you can have a miracle, if you can undo the victimhood, bring it home to your own thoughts, you're one thought away from your freedom at all times. This is mastery. This is mastery. Okay, so here's the fine print. So level adjustment, right perception, feeling. Until this has occurred, healing cannot be understood. Harkening back to what Ross is talking about, you'll misunderstand healing if you're waiting for the bone to unbreak or the headache to go away or the person to suddenly walk up and say, I don't know what happened, but now I love you. I know I said I hated you, but if you're waiting for an outside reassurance, you're still in separation. So you can't understand the healing if you're still looking for witnesses outside your mind. Now, sentence 3. This might be a good one to highlight if you haven't already. Forgiveness is an empty gesture unless it entails correction. Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. There has to be a change in what you think is true regarding your problem. In other words, you don't forgive a real problem. You don't forgive something that you think is truly harmful to your happiness. That would be lying, wouldn't it? That would be lying. Yeah, but I don't want to punish the person. I want them just to know that I'm not going to punish them because I know they tried their hardest, even though it hurt me. That's what the ego says. So I'm going to forgive them. See, you're absolutely attacking your freedom. You're attacking your invulnerability when you say they hurt me. Well, Andrew, they really did hurt me, and there's money involved, and there's property damage, and I got hurt. And in fact, the more hurt may come. You're in the world. You're in the world of the ego where the body gets hurt, and you'll never be free there. You can be happier there as your body gets hurt and eventually goes up on the cross and dies. You can be happier with this, with your enlightenment, but you will still hurt because that's the design of the game you're playing in a body. Difference? Why even do this? What's the difference? You will not suffer. Yes, you will be hurt. Jesus was hurt big time. It was not pretty. You will be hurt, your body, but you will not suffer. And this is the key of your enlightenment. This is your freedom. Ross, what do you got?
So going over that sentence to make sure I understand it. Forgiveness is an empty gesture unless it entails correction. So to spit that back in a, let's say, an example, so a situation occurs, you see through the ego's trick that's trying to make you into a victim, and you go, ah, I see specifically in this case how the ego's trying to trick me into forgiving an actual slight, an actual offense. And I'm also going to try and generalize that to all situations that are similar so that you don't get tripped up by it again. But that
will be protection from the harm that happened. Right. You got it. Yeah. Leave it at the level where it belongs, which is the world. You certainly can. You certainly can forgive and not forget. And that's a perfectly healthy way to manage the world so you don't fall in the same hole. No problem.
And generalize it.
But if you turn it toward yourself and say, therefore I can't be happy, now you've crossed into damaged territory where you continue this separation.
Can you say more about that?
Yes. This work of A Course in Miracles is an inside job, an inward turning for freedom. Your body will never be free the way your mind will be, can be, and must be. And so the work we do with A Course in Miracles, with forgiveness and miracles and a holy instant, it's all inward.
Yeah.
It's an inside job because that's the direction of where the slight occurred, where the problem occurred. You will not be free on the outside. You can only be free, certainly, on the inside and right now. You have to wait to be free on the outside. You can prepare. You can make amends. And, you know, you can do lots of nice things to make your life better. You can get healthier, wealthier, and wiser and live an easier life next year. Really, you really can. You have to wait for it to work out, but you really can. I try that all the time with my life, constantly trying to make it better next year.
Make a better dream.
Make a better dream. And I've done a pretty good job. But I'll tell you, that's way too long to wait for my happiness. I now know. There's a great sentence where I got a wonderful spiritual awakening driving my little Volkswagen so many years ago. I was just playing the audio. And that sentence, there is no need to delay joy. And I got it. I got it. And so now I don't have to wait. All that matters to me is my happiness. I went from a Volkswagen and worked my way up to a Corvette. And then I worked my way back down to a Toyota now. But there, I recognized there was no need to delay the only thing that mattered. And so that's what I mean. It's an inward job, and that will give you the ability to go to eternity and away from time. Yes, Michaeline.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Yeah,
that's okay. I got it. I had an experience, but I want to go back to the place where you said it's how you feel and in the present. And I had a situation with my primary relationship where something came up. I felt victimized. I felt violated. I knew because of my work that it wasn't about the person. And I knew it was about me. And I really had to, like you said, it's an inside job. And it took me overnight to do this. But I actually meditated, focused on what it was. I didn't want to identify it with who I am or who, you know, I wanted to really forgiveness in the way that the Course talks about forgiveness. And so when I woke up this morning, I realized that I needed to take an action. I didn't do it consciously at first. It was like, I had an extra bouquet, a Christmas bouquet. I drove over to their house. I knocked on the door. I actually did this as an exercise. I've never really done anything like this before.
Good, good.
And I said, I know things feel awkward between us, and I really just want to let you know that I still care about you. I still love you. I want to make amends. I don't know, you know, what that is for you, but for me, I just want to bring this to you as a little offering, let you know that I still care for you. It was magical. I hate to use the word magical, but it was like there was just a real light. You know, you talked about the lightness of being, and I remembered how heavy it was. You know, it was so heavy. And so
Michaeline, you know what you did? You communicated. You had the miracle. You had the forgiveness happen, as Course in Miracles prescribes. And then you did what also Course in Miracles invites you to do, which is when you have the freedom of the holy instant, to stay with it for a moment and to actually drink it in and own it. And one way you did it was you used the body now for a higher purpose, along with those flowers. You took and you did a communication for you. Who knows how they received it?
Yeah,
who knows
I mean, what they think? Didn't. It wasn't about them. It was
nice.
About what I wanted to feel, and
yes.
I wanted to feel happy again. I
yes.
wanted to embrace the feelings I have of goodness in our relationship.
Good
I
thoughts.
Didn't want that to go away.
Yep. Yep, there's a triad that is the beginning of in the Zarathustra. Good thoughts, good words, good deeds.
Yeah, and ever since then, I have felt so much peace, and it was really an intense. It could have been in the past, it would have just been taken me months to get through what had happened because I had to make choices that would have looked like, you know, a big breakup and all that when that really wasn't the purpose, you know.
So you followed through with the correction. That's what I like about what you did is you stayed with the moment and you followed through with the correction. All the way to the gesture of the flowers, the communication. I love it. You
and
own
what
it.
Helped me was that I used my feelings.
Nice.
I used my feelings as the indicator of, you know, and it wasn't like I made it all up. It was like I was just really moving in the moment. You know, what can I do? You know, it was there. It happened. I drove. You know, it was like. And it was such a huge thing for me.
And you're empowered now to follow that feeling through.
Yeah.
And what popped in your head because you were open, perhaps was the flowers and all. You don't want to see where it says, it talks about that in the book. Hold your finger here because we need to come back to this paragraph on 28. Hold your finger there and just jump to 594 for a second. And I'll show you a sentence we don't normally spend much time on.
I have lined outlined things here.
Actually, we want to go to 4. I know some great stuff on that page, but we want to go to 494.
Oh, okay.
And just look at the very bottom of that page. Mm-hmm. Look at the very bottom in that last paragraph, and look at sentence 6. How can you know whether you chose the stairs to heaven or the way to hell? Was your forgiveness genuine, Michaeline? Or are you just trying to butter over that relationship so they would still accept you? No, here's how you know. Here's how you know whether you chose the stairs to heaven or the way to hell.
Where are you in that paragraph?
594, paragraph 22, and right in the middle. sentence 6.
Thank you.
Sure. How can you know whether you chose the stairs to heaven or the way to hell? And that reminds me of a bumper sticker I saw somewhere. It says, it makes sense that there is a stairway to heaven, but a highway to hell. That's our life. That's our world. Stairway to heaven. Highway to hell. Okay. All right. How can you know whether you chose the stairs to heaven or the highway to hell? I got to write that in my book. All right. Quite easily. How do you feel? You chose your feelings, Michaeline, and they were beautiful. Just like with Jacqueline driving along in her car thinking, oh my God, everything's holy. Stairway to heaven. Because she allowed her right perception to just take over. And it filled both her mind and her heart. She became wholehearted. You see, the ego has the word, uses the word heart also, but it is selective, conditionally hearted. But as you awaken, you have access to a wholeheartedness, whole being the key word, the root of holiness. And that's what Jacqueline experienced, a wholeheartedness. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience, and nobody can take that away from you. How do you feel? Is peace in your awareness? Are you certain which way you go? Yeah, I can imagine Jacqueline smiling and Michaeline smiling with the flowers. And I don't know what they're going to do with these flowers when I show up. I don't even care because I'm making this communication as a celebration of my forgiveness. I love how it feels. That's why I vision you. And are you sure the goal to heaven can be reached? Yeah, you're sure. You're already feeling it. See? Yes. Ah, oh, beautiful. Okay, back to page 28. Page 28, paragraph 15, the level adjustment power of the miracle. Boy, that's what we want to access. Not only miracles, we want miracles to adjust our level of thinking. See, that is healing. The only healing the book actually talks about is the healing of your perception, your level of thinking. Movement from material focus to a spiritual focus. It's all the same mind, but you've been investing in materiality in a separate existence. So we need some level adjustment.
Where are you, Andrew?
Okay, now I'm back to the front of the book. In chapter 2 on page 28. And we're focusing on paragraph 15. Sentence 3, forgiveness is an empty gesture unless it entails correction. Now, Jesus really makes this a bit more serious. And he says, remember I told you on the Miracle Principle 7? He says, miracles are everyone's right, but, record scratch, wait. Purification is necessary first so that you will give yourself access to the miracle. Here's where he kind of says it again, sentence 4. Without this, without the correction that we're talking about, without that, then forgiveness is essentially judgmental rather than healing. You'll be teaching yourself that harm was done to you unless you do the correction that says no harm is done to me by things in the world. That would take a miracle and it would be an awakening. That's exactly why you're here and that's why you do this. So just want to point that out. And then also, turn the page to page 30. Look at the top of the page. And we're just going to we're just going to jump into this rich paragraph because I want to just pull a jewel out for our study tonight. Forgive me because it's so rich. It's hard just to pass up the rest of the paragraph. Look at sentence 7 on the top of page 30, on the very top of page 30. You can see how rich this paragraph is. This arouses a sense of coercion that usually produces rage, and projection is likely to follow. Do you see the circle, the ego circle in this case? That when you are slighted, you want to attack, etc., right? Whenever there is fear, it's because you have not made up your mind. This is a gift from Jesus on your psychological experience in a body. Fear. Your mind is therefore split and your behavior inevitably becomes erratic. He has a whole section on chaos, describing what it's like to live without making up your mind for light. As long as I'm whacking a sacred cat, even the word healed, sure. Yes, you bet it does, because if you keep your mind at the level of fixing something, then there's something to be fixed. And I can see what you're saying, Tim. But if you look at healing as an undoing of error, we're back to, because error is a dream.
At the same point you made before, miracles are an undoing of error.
Yes.
In that sense, they collapse the timeline.
Thank you. Okay, back on page 30. Sentence 10 now, correcting at the behavioral level, that's what Ross is talking about, remember? Correcting at the behavioral level can shift the error from the first to the second type, but will not obliterate the fear. So it's an inside job. Yes, Ross?
Yeah, that... This is exactly what was coming to mind. My lady friend, I'll go into a little bit of a story.
Right.
So I had rolled up this pad and stuck it in the closet, you know, thinking I had put it away correctly. Well, she calls at me down from the stairs and says, "Hey, I want you to help me refold this pad because it's not in there correctly." And so my ego is thinking, wait a minute, I put that in there the best I could, you know? And so she's got me kneeling on it, folding it up, you know, trying to get it, you know, and in the meantime, while she's pulling it out, the closet comes off the hinges, right? So I'm like, you might as well leave it off the hinges, because when you stick it back in there, it's going to come off the hinges again. And I'm doing exactly what this paragraph is thinking. I'm behaving because I'm pausing and thinking, okay, when a brother asks you to do something outrageous, do it, because otherwise your salvation depends on you not doing it. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this, but damn it, I'm angry because my ego says I put that thing away right, and she's making me redo it. And finally, I guess that came across, and she said, "You're not helping, so get out of here." And then, I mean, here's the funny thing about it. Her niece comes in and says, "Well, I was going to take that pad over to my sister's anyway, so just
anyway."
Out.
Yeah, that's an addendum.
Chuckling, but this paragraph hits home so much. Because my behavior was one way, but my thinking was...
Oh, Ross, that is a great example.
I do not want to fold this pad up again because I already did it once.
But guess what? You were out there folding the pad up again.
I did. I kneeled on it. I said, "Hey, I don't know what you want, So you just tell me what to do.
So outside you cooperated.
I'll fold it and I'll roll it and I'll sit on it and I'll, you know, I'll stick it in my ear if you want me to.
So that was an attack on her.
That what?
It was an attack.
She sure perceived it as that because she said, "You're not helping."
Yeah.
Go away.
She could tell that you weren't actually there.
No, my cooperate. Mind is not really into the project.
You got it. You got it. But you physically showed up. So, let us point it out because that's what we like to study. You were engaged in a lie.
But
right. I'm going to go.
I'm best at the time. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I know I screwed up, but I was trying my best.
No, I love how you caught it and you're looking at it now. All that matters is that you use this and you're seeing through it now. Which is the whole value for all of us.
I saw through it the whole time. I couldn't get the miracle to happen to really get on board with refolding the pack.
Okay, so now teach us. Teach us now what correction, and you can make this, you will make this correction now. Teach us now the correction, the shift in mind that you would make as you drop to your knees to fold that thing under her direction.
Well, the miracle would have been if I could have wrapped my mind around it and said, okay, let's get on board with this project. Let's really wrap this thing up just like you think it should be. How should we do that and really mean it? Then my salvation would have not depended on not doing it.
See, what I like about this example, because it's so physical, with the mat and everything, and the closet and the folding, and her, she sees the mat one way, you see it the other. It's much more difficult when we're having only a verbal exchange. And she says, I need you to think this way. And you're like, well, I think this way, and it's all invisible. But it's the exact same issue. We want to move from an unholy mat folding to a holy mat folding.
Yeah.
What's the essence of a holy relationship or a holy communication versus an unholy or ego-based?
Joining with the person and perfect communication.
I said, then do it yourself.
Yeah. Show me how, dear. Well, I watch and I'll film it and I'll study it later. Good. Jason is just very clever.
I like it. I'll take a video of perfect mat folding because apparently I'm incompetent.
Yeah, you got it, Ross. The trick is joining. It really, really is. You ask, what is this mat folding for? It's certainly not to get the mat folded. I mean, yes, the mat will be folded, but that's not the goal. And it's also not why she asked you down there. She could have folded it herself. If that's the only goal was for her to fold it, there must have been more.
So she would, I mean, well, if we go to the ultimate level, it's a call for love.
It's a call for love, and you had the ability to answer with love. But you'd have to take away any thought of attack or wrongdoing and have it turn into an embrace. It would take some minute. Do you guys, I think Julie's the only person that's been here long enough. No, Julie and Michaeline. Remember Olchi and Olchi's closet? This is a woman who had a couple of kids and a chaotic and no, the husband wasn't present. And oh my God, things would fall apart in that woman's household. So what she would do is just a minute and she'd walk into the closet and close the door behind her. All the noise is out there. Things are going on with the family. She'd say, wait a minute, Holy Spirit. How can this be good? And she would just ask for a miracle to happen. Her heart rate would slow down. Her mind would open in the darkness of the closet where she was safe. She'd go to ease and she'd go confidence, not knowing what to do next, but she would go into the closet and just reset. Then she'd come out of the closet and deal with the whole thing out of a sense of peace. Olchi. Olchi's closet, we called it for years. Remember, Michaeline? Yeah, so you do need a pause. You have to break the cycle of going down the staircase with the ego. And literally, in your case, it's going down the staircase to fold that mat. Or in that room or wherever you had to go to get to the mat. during that walk was your chance to be vigilant and catch how it feels. And I dare say it was probably feeling agitated. And somehow you'd have to...
Actually, I didn't realize what she was going to ask me.
Oh, okay.
She said, come up and help me.
Oh.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So no, I love that example.
It kind of blindsided me.
I love that example.
Holding.
Man. Well, anyway, so Ross's illustrated situation, we've all been through these things. Thank you, Cecilia, for pointing that out, too. The art, the mastery of this material is that you would be so accustomed to being peaceful in difficult situations that you notice immediately when you're not peaceful and you say, I'm resetting that right now. I got this phrase, my peace is not for sale.
I know what I should have done. I should have said, you know what? I really have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, yes.
Right back. And then I
could have
taken a couple of deep breaths.
Yes. It's worth it. It's worth it to reset.
Blindsided me with the map thing. I had no idea. All right. Yes. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Ross. A great, great example. We'll probably come back to that because I like its physical, its graphic physical nature of the mat and everything coming together. It's really nice. I like that. I like that example a lot. Oh, okay. So let's get back to page 450. Wow, did time go by fast. Let's get back to page 459 and try to get through that paragraph number two. So now you see the importance of that word correction. Correction is the purification of your mind. That is mentioned in Miracle Principle 7. And the correction happens by your willingness to see things differently. Your willingness to receive the correction, the miracle, and then your willingness to release your habitual thinking with forgiveness. You really have to be willing to let go of that habitual thought that will pop in, even though you see it differently. The thoughts will continue to pop in that you've been practicing for the last 16 years or 60 years or who knows how long. But now you can let them go. That's what forgiveness is for. That's the correction value of forgiveness.
So, Andrew, that's a critical thing in Ross's situation was as soon as, like you said, he'd go to the bathroom. But in going to the bathroom, he'd be at that point inviting correction and then letting the right-minded behavior come out. In other words, not really knowing what the right behavior is.
Not knowing what he's going to say or what he's going to do. Julie, tell us what page 366 has. Teach us about approaching a situation.
You had said it. You had said, what is this for? It's not really about folding the mat. And that just instantly, that's page 366. And
which is a section called Setting the Goal.
And I'm hearing that Ross didn't have a lot of lead time, but when I have lead time, I have used this when I'm going into a difficult conversation, like I have used this to like just let go and just go into the situation without like without my expectations, like as an ego would have them, but instead like just holding on to the joining.
Yeah. And you go into the situation without the ego's expectation, but with the spirit's expectation. You go in, which is contrasted to Jacqueline's story, where basically she fell off her horse. But, you know, we'll talk about that later. So your idea was to take and have a happy exchange, a happy experience. This is setting the goal is all about on that chapter 16 pages where you say, what is this for? This is for joining. This is for happiness. This is all I want in every relationship, in every interaction. Even if I have to make a correction and take responsibility, or help somebody else take responsibility in the world. I'm going to do it with peace, with understanding, with generosity, with tolerance, and with a ton of honesty. This is how I'm going to do it. The goal is I will come out honest and happy and helpful. And I don't even know what's going to happen. And then you come out of the closet, you come out of the bathroom, Ross, and say, okay, what are we doing here? You got it. Very good. Very good. This is correction. This is caring for yourself. This is taking a moment out of your life for higher thinking. This is taking a chance to prepare yourself for a teaching learning situation where healing of your mind is the result. But I'll tell you, if you don't take a moment, especially in the early days, right? Less and less as you get on, you need less and less time. But in the early days, you do need to stop. You do need time. You do need a reset. You need to count to 10. You need to take a breath. You know why? Because your ego is a lot stronger than your willingness to follow this book. So good on you. Very, very good. Very, very good. That's exactly what you do. You don't have to, you know, you'll see it comes easier and easier as you go along because you just fall in love with peace. And you're certain that peace is just one thought away in any circumstance, then you don't have to go in the closet. Yeah. Now, let's see now in the last couple of minutes if we can pull some more out of this paragraph. So far, we got the first word done. Okay, so we're good. Sorry. All right. So correction cannot be accepted or refused by you without, drum roll, your brother. Your brother in A Course in Miracles is really the symbol for anything outside of you, but especially in relationships. That's where it really cuts deep. Somebody who either did say they loved you, should have said they loved you, or you think they love you, these are the ones that can really get your separation ego going. The ones where you need correction the most. And where you get the most traction. So Course in Miracles says, yeah, Holy Spirit can use this whole brother scenario. Now, sin would maintain that you can make a correction all on your own and leave your brother alone and separate as a troublesome, devil, evil, occupied sinner. The ego says you can just make the correction and leave your brother alone. Course says no. You holding your brother as real is the problem, and that you can be alone is the problem. Yet reason or sanity or Holy Spirit, sentence 3, tells you that you cannot see your brother or yourself as sinful and still perceive the other innocent. This is because the reflection factor. We are on page 459, paragraph 2. What you see is what you get. This is the essence of salvation in this book. That whatever you are feeling is because you're thinking it first, not because it happened and you're reacting. It's just not the truth. I'm going to speed up a little bit now because we have to end the meeting here, so I'm going to kind of push through. Watch this. Sentence 4. Who looks upon himself as guilty? Who can look on himself as guilty? That you are actually the sinned. You've harmed. You've done harm to somebody else. Who looks at himself as guilty and sees a sinless world? Nobody. And who can see a sinful world and look upon himself as apart from it? Nobody. Sin would maintain it, separation, right? Sin is separation in A Course in Miracles, the belief in it. Sin would maintain you and your brother must be separate, redundant. But reason tells you that this must be wrong. If you and your brother are joined, How could it be that you have private thoughts? Whoa! In the bodies, you know, in the world, you have private thoughts. Absolutely. But that is not the domain of truth. Everything that you can see is connected to the one mind from where it came. And so while you can dream of separation, you can't make it true. And it all has a common source. This is why you cannot have private thoughts.
Andrew?
Yes.
A mundane example, I would say, when I looked upon my encounter with the dental hygienist, her lecturing me about waiting until next year to have my root canal, all was based in my feeling like I shouldn't be doing that. I may be causing more problems. You know, it was all based in my own really kind of doing it, but beating myself up about it or saying, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing my uncertainty, fear. So I think that's how I see, you know, when somebody's, if she's lecturing me about it, it's in my own mind. It's
oh, very good.
What I had going on about it, totally. So that's the other aspect to, you know, and we talk about the levels, but I do think I'm in a body. It does seem like there's another person there. So I have to practice whatever I'm practicing, Course in Miracles, forgiveness, whatever, at that level, and then also include some of the higher levels as I think about it. But, you know, we have to just be very practical about our forgiveness if we still feel like I'm a person and there's a person out there.
You're still living with a body that has teeth.
Yeah, so I don't want to get confused about it. You know, I do want to consider the other levels, but I feel like I also have to practice the very
same. I want to ask you a question, and I know you know the answer. I know it's obvious. Sometimes we have to stop and ask these very basic questions. Can you be happy with a failed root canal?
Well, I hadn't even considered having a failed root canal.
Well, or a late root canal. Or an early root canal.
Or just that it might be doing something. I don't know. You know, they act like...
Let's say a mishandled root canal. Or I should say it like you do, like you and Julie say it. Root canal.
Root canal.
No root canal. Can you still be happy with no root canal? I know you know the answer, but you know what?
Well, it's possible,
she says. It's possible, she says. I would like you to reconsider your answer. Because you just dealt with this. All of us are dealing with it right now because of your story. We're all in that chair. We all have a decision to make. We're all being castigated for acting too soon or too late. I forget which, but we're all with you. And so now I'm asking you to lead the way because you're the one who actually sat in that chair and you had these conflicting thoughts and this self-deprecation. This is forgiveness of the past, folks. She is condemning herself and having chaotic feelings and thoughts about something that happened maybe yesterday. Now it's time for the Holy Spirit to come in and work with her, work with these thoughts. Now it's time. So if you're up to it, Jacqueline, you can say Pastor Andrew, you do it. That's fine too. But here's a chance to apply the Holy Spirit to an unholy set of thoughts. And my question was, can you be happy with a root canal in any form?
I have been experiencing, you know, I have other physical little things, you know, like I have tinnitus all the time.
Yep.
I have been experiencing that they're just there and I can
can be at peace and be happy. I've been experiencing that more. Oh, okay, there's a physical thing happening. And not so much knowing that I'm not a body, I acknowledging that that's not what I am, doesn't mean I know I'm not a body, but I can acknowledge that is not what I am. So yes.
Let me ask you it this way.
I have been experiencing that, I would say, to a degree.
So is it possible to be happy even though your body is in pain?
I don't have a lot of severe pain, so I don't know if I can truthfully answer that, but I believe that's possible.
But you believe. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. You believe it. You believe it.
Yes.
This is an invitation for everybody to look at your life. And here comes tomorrow, right? We'll go to sleep tonight, probably uneventful, but tomorrow something will happen. Something inconvenient will happen tomorrow. Take a moment. Take even just one full second, which is this long, 1001. At least take that much. Good night, Jason. What you want to do is you want to stop the habitual thinking that says I must react to pain or discomfort or anger or sadness or whatever pops up. It's going to happen tomorrow. You know it. Take a moment, take a breath and say, I think I'll choose perfect peace right now first and then think about my root canal or my stub toe or broken shoelace or dent in my car or whatever's going to happen to you tomorrow. And in that moment is your personal salvation born, because you will be using your mind for a higher purpose. It's very addicting to choose peace in a difficult situation. Then you will have the correction we've been talking about all night. You will have the correction because it's the power is in your hands to actually live the peace we read about in this book. And the world is a great place because something bad's going to happen tomorrow to everybody. On that cheerful note.
That's really good. Huh? Andrew, I've noticed that, you know, when I'm able to just, I stop, my mind doesn't think about it anymore. So the thoughts fall away and then that's what happens. It does clear the mind of the thought about whatever's, like I banged myself up and I was able to go, oh, okay, well, put a Band-Aid on it. And then I'm not thinking about it anymore.
It was really not impactful. If it had no way, like I say, you're going to feel pain, but you don't have to suffer and just let it go. Jacqueline, even if you swear, you know what? If it's not valuable, you know how it feels and you don't have to go back and revisit because it's gone. So yes, amen to that, amen to that. It's just when you, as you well described, sometimes you get a little emotional suffering, lingering. And this is a good time to practice forgiveness to release it. Okay, everybody, thank you. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. I'm moving my marker. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.